narcissism today. Like, I'm just doing it. I had, like, 3 cups of coffee. I don't even want to wait.
And I,
for once,
at all. And I feel bad about this.
Or maybe,
I still sleep.
Or maybe it was because I had bronchitis, right? And I've been, like, in my house, in my bed for, like, 2 weeks and doing nothing, looking at my four walls, being like, when I get out of here, it's going to be amazing.
It's so true. And she just got out.
Yeah, I just got out. I broke out of jail when I was let go. I was pardoned.
Yes, pardon my
antibiotics hardened me. It ain't good.
Okay, but we have an important guest.
I know we have a movie, so we have to hear this up. Okay, so we are two of the anti-thought ladies, and this is The Rubens Cave, and we did these books. Well, along with 15 other wonderful, beautiful, ass your life, gorgeous ladies, you know, people that you would have a vodka with. Awesome.
Shoot, I didn't make it a perfect, but anyway,
whatever. And I thought divorce was bad with other life lessons. And I thought being born was easy. Yes, sold out. And I thought I could juggle it all. And I thought I did my journey alone. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Also sold out.
We
just sold
away. We just went to a book fair. So we
had and it was really kind of crazy because we were like, hey, I just want to buy that last copy that's free. We were like, wait, that's my purpose. That's my purpose. Oh, you can have it. And I thought I did my journey alone. And I thought I had it all figured out at episode one of fiction. And yes, people, Winona wants to be more famous because she's gorgeous and she should be famous, right? Available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and WeThought.com. Yes, well,
I'm
in the middle. You ain't making money. I just want
to
say.
We keep this really quick. 3 things to say, because I don't want the guests to get bored. Number one, we have the Inspirational Women in Literature Conference, Inspirational Women in Literature, Media, and Journalism Conference.
I was going to say it when you go to AndWeThought.com, you guys, check out the conference page. And the ladies page, because, you know, if you check out the conference page, you will see charities that we proudly support. Wow. All right. I had too much coffee.
And you can also find them on the ladies page. Please, people, support them. They do wonderful work. Also, we have our own television show on Channel 18 in California. So Just Right Life reality TV show. Please check us out.
Docu-series.
Docu-series. I want to sound intelligent.
I'm intelligent. I'm an author. For goodness sake, I'm intelligent.
Okay, so we have our own docu-series as well. You can check us out on Amazon.com. You can see it there also.
Mm-hmm. I think that's my love with my own joke. That's scalable.
But you guys are in place today.
You guys are here to hear about our wonderful guest. Wonderful guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Dr. Bolacharmi. I'm a professor of American history and best-selling author. And I'm guessing I'm your first guest who lives in Slovenia. Is that right?
Yes, you are. I'm trying to remember because I'm like.
You had to think about that for a while.
Croatia.
But it was like we had the calls. Like it was bad internet.
No. You are the first guest. I just want to ask.
You know what? I'm most intrigued by. Do you have like a branded hip flask that you're also?
Yes, I do. We do. It is called.
Can I get me some of that?
I know.
That's awesome.
But we also have one with our book title on it that says, "And I thought being grown up was easy with a martini glass," because you know when you.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, that is an amazing compliment coming from someone who could actually successfully rock a man bun. Which means you're.
Functional, right?
I know. I only have these wide glasses. Like that's the end of my hipness.
All right, he was introducing himself before he said something about a flask.
Yeah. Well. I write about art history and art crime, and I've also written a novel. And actually, my latest book is about my adventures in Slovenia. It's called Slovenology, Living and Traveling in the World's Best Country. And I actually think that. I moved here from the U.S. I lived in 8 different countries, but this is my favorite. And I have a good thing to fill that hip flask, if you're going to send me a complimentary one for being a guest. My grandmother-in-law is the village schnapps-making champion in the village near where I live in Slovenia. So there you go. We have like a symbiotic relationship. We can mail you award-winning schnapps to fill your hip flask.
What was it? Is that schnapps?
I've heard about schnapps like actually over there, and it's wonderful. My friend was like, you need to go in the middle of Europe and have schnapps. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah.
Every year we have an international competition, and it's international because it's me and like 8 guys from the village. But it could be truly international. If you girls come over and you could be guest judges. How about that? That makes for a good one.
So just email us after the show. You know,
when does this festival normally take place? Because we have our third.
We'll set it up whenever you
We'll be there. July or August, we'll be right there.
Okay, we got a plan.
Because we're on book tour from July through August, so that's not...
Okay. Now we're talking. We'll get the U.S. Embassy to fly you over as, like, an official ambassadorial guest to do the schnapps tasting and do, like, we'll hook you up.
Oh, awesome. Yay. That's exciting.
Okay. Please don't make... If you're going to say this, please be for real, because I'm really, like, I'm already, like, I know the hotel I'm staying at, because I have friends who travel over there and married someone in
Washington.
Okay. Anyway, we're not talking about us. Let's talk about your book. I mean, I read so much, and I was like, I can't believe he said yes to us.
Oh, no, I'm delighted that you wanted to have me on. Yeah, so I think this is my 12th book, the one that just came out. And I was just really briefly in the U.S. on book tour. I did a talk at the National Gallery in D.C. And the book is called Collector of Lives, Giorgio Vasari and the Invention of Art. And it's a history of how people have thought about art from the cave days to the present, told through the biography of this really interesting guy named Giorgio Vasari, who is an Italian painter and architect, but he's best known as having essentially founded the field of art history. He was the first art historian.
Right. And on top of this, you at one time made art history best kind of like...
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That started back in 2007. I was doing my postgraduate studies in England, and I set up a conference at Cambridge where I was studying that turned out to be the first one in the world that brought together police and academics to study the field of art crime. And art crime is the study of art theft, security, forgery, iconoclasm, and vandalism, which is when people attack or destroy art. And art looting during war, like during the Second World War, for example, when around 5 million cultural heritage objects changed hands. And I sort of founded the field, I guess. That's what the New York Times Magazine said in a 2007 article. And I'm a professor specializing in you know, everything that people find intriguing about movies like The Thomas Crown Affair or Ocean's 12, those kind of art heist movies. Well, I study real-life versions of that. And that's what I usually write about as well.
Wow, okay, I love me some ocean.
Let me just be honest, I love me some ocean.
Also, you know, the Thomas Crown Affair, but that's more about Pierce Brosnan than the actual plot.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So how do you feel like, how do you make academic and being hip together? How do you marriage
that? That's a great question. I feel like I'm just so naturally hip that it comes with the territory, right?
Of course you are. I'm telling you, you're rocking it.
The academic stuff I always found interesting, and it's important that the stuff I write about and what I teach has a scholarly backbone, but I also think plain old academic stuff is pretty boring. So I have some academic books I've written because professors are supposed to, but I think it's much more exciting to speak to the widest possible audience. And so I try to write, you know, bestseller-y types of nonfiction books. I also write for a lot of popular magazines and newspapers like Salon, The Washington Post, The Guardian. Try to reach the most people possible. I also do some things like TV presenting. I do a few shows a year. These kind of things that are trying to reach out for the widest possible audience rather than preaching to the converted, the other professors who study in your field.
Jay, do you have a question? Because I have a question.
No, I know you have a question. So that's why I was looking at you smiling. I'm like, she has one. I feel it.
You're on one of my platforms.
Yes,
and I absolutely love it.
Hold on, let me pull out the soapbox. There you go. That's for you.
It's normally her that's on a soapbox. But one of my things is I believe you do art history, but I believe as in literature, everyone's like, oh, literature is dying, it's dying. And I'm like, it's dying because you guys refuse to do anything but preach to the choir, like academics. And you're like, if you do like we did a docu-series, if you do that, you're no longer a literature author. Like, people who have literary ones are like, no, we're not going to consider you because, I mean, you have a television show. No, I think that if you want to make anything reborn, you need to go ahead and go out to the masses. Do you feel that you're kind of cheating on the academic background with the going out to the masses?
It's a good question. I've never tried to be a full-time professor. And if maybe I had, it would be different. And then you have to do certain things to be on a sort of political track. And there's a lot of administration that goes on, and you have to publish X number of things per year. I'm essentially like a pop professor. And there's a category of us and the kind of professors that do TV series and that write best-selling books. And I think the hardcore academics are maybe, there's a little element of jealousy because they'd like to have that much of an outreach. But also, it's a different approach. You have to like performing. You have to like giving talks to lots of people, not just in a course. You have to like engaging. And that's a different skill set, a different set of passions than someone who's a really good academic, but maybe prefers to stay in a library most of the time and do the research. So I think they're just two different paths that you can choose. That's my politically correct answer.
Look, there is no correct answer. No. Honestly, I have been so frustrated because this year
we're poets, you know, we're anthologies.
We write anthologies, yeah. We're straight literary. The thing is that I've been frustrated because I went back to school to get a better degree in writing because I already had like two. It wasn't in writing. And so one of the things was when they found out about what we do, they're like, oh, come be on the board of our college anthology. I'm in a room with a bunch of academics and I get so frustrated because I'm like, I swear the ideas are so antiquated. And then they're just these professors and people are just ramming this down these younger people's throat. And I'm like, this is not how the world's going to work in a couple of years. And it's amazing to meet someone who's like, just took the frustration right out. And I just made this about me again and I apologize. I am the narcissist. Let's move back.
Well, I'll give you an example. Just this year, I started teaching a course for professors at University of Ljubljana, the capital of Slovenia, where I teach. And these are famous professors in their fields who are extremely well-respected and they're at the top of their various fields, but they had very bad luck getting funding from European grant associations, mostly because they write about the amazing things they're doing in such a dry way that everybody falls asleep listening to them. And so I was hired by the university to actually teach fellow professors how to write in a way that was more engaging, had more of a narrative to it. And even if it's a rather esoteric academic topic, you can make it exciting and cinematic and to try to basically help them compel the judges who are going to decide who gets these major funding grants. So I think there's a problem all over the world, and they're just different skill sets, and we respect all of them. I find the academic stuff I'm kind of boring myself.
We need that, I think, this is my opinion. We need people that are extra smart and extra dry, because you can learn stuff from them. You have to be really ready to do it, but you can, and they have wisdom in their years of teaching and learning. And then you need people like us that'll put it to the masses in a way that they're like, oh, I never even thought of that. That's cool. Let me read that dry book, maybe. That other dry book. Because, I kind of like the thing now. Exactly.
But you make a really good point. That's something I always say when I'm teaching, especially the difference between a more European approach and a more Anglophone approach. One of the keys to really good writing in the Anglophone world is to make the reader feel smart. The reader should finish your book or your article, and they should feel smarter than they did when they began. And they should absorb real information, but no matter how complicated the topic, even if you're talking about chaos theory, mathematics, they should feel like they have a grip on it by the time they finish reading. And the European approach is to kind of complicate, and the reader has to figure out what the author's trying to say. And that just doesn't work for me, certainly, and it doesn't work for the more popular types of writing in English. And so that's a distinction. I think you made a good point that people like us are maybe translating from English into English, from complicated writings for peers in the field to writings for the masses so everyone can feel like they have an understanding.
Absolutely. That was a good point. So now that we're at the end of
we're at the end.
One more question.
Can we have time for one more question?
We have time for one more question.
Oh, I was trying to be quiet, Zach, at that time. Eight countries. You lived in eight countries. Okay. What did you do? How was it awesome? Why were you in eight countries?
I'm a little bit of a funny story. I always felt more at home in Europe than in the U.S. And I decided I wanted to live in Europe. I lived in Europe for the first time when I was 16. I went to a boarding school that had abroad programs, and I lived in Paris, and I thought this was pretty late. And so I was basically traveling around Europe, auditioning countries and looking for the future Mrs. Charney. And it's a little bit of arbitrary that I fell in love with a Slovenian and decided to end up in Slovenia, but I think I probably would have been just as happy in any of the other various European countries, but I wound up choosing one that, after much research, in addition to just liking the general vibe, I think is just about as great a place to live as you could find on the planet. I had great experiences in Italy, Spain, England, the Netherlands, you name it, lots of different places, and it was fun to have that itinerant nomadic experience just with my laptop writing, because I'm pretty portable, and just, you know, checking things out. It was really fun, a good experience to have.
I hope to do that one day in my life.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, soon enough, because we have one last question. Where can people find you in your books?
It's very nice of you to ask. Well, my paper American books are available at any bookstores, Amazon, of course. My website's noahcharney.com. You can join me on Facebook. And then my last two books that came out this summer are only available in Slovenia. So come on over and you can get into the bookstores here. You can send me a message and we'll try to sort you out.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Noah, we really appreciate it. I'm Jade.
And I'm Winona.
And we wrote these lovely books, the And I Thought series. You can find that on Amazon.com and always find out what the ladies are doing on AndWeThought.com. Just remember, you guys, that wisdom is all around you if
you're open to finding it and accepting it. So peace and love, you guys, from Winona.
And Jade.
Bye-bye.